I want to review briefly from the message Sunday night. And if you weren't here and didn't hear it, I encourage you to get the recording of it. And the title of the sermon on Sunday night was, I Want to Hear God. And we were talking about being able to hear God speak. And I know that for a lot of people, you were like me, you were raised in a denomination or a church where you were taught that God doesn't speak anymore, that once He gave the Bible or once we ended up with the Bible in our hands, that God stopped speaking. Well, that's not true. Now, I believe that, but that's not true, and found out years later that God does still speak and that we can hear Him. Well, then that brings up the question, if we can hear Him, then, you know, how can we hear Him? And even in full gospel circles, there are a lot of folks that just do not understand how to hear God. And people, I know I've heard things along the lines of, you know, I wish God would speak to me like He did to people back in the Old Testament. Back in the Old Testament, though, God spoke to prophets as, now this is the general pattern. God spoke to prophets as the Holy Ghost would come upon them. And then they would deliver their message and so forth. And the people were pretty much dependent upon the prophets. Well, in the New Testament, that pattern is not repeated. Because God gives a prophecy about the new covenant, and under the new covenant, everybody's going to have the opportunity to know Him, to experience Him, and to have fellowship with Him. Meaning that we're not going to have to go to the prophets to get a word. Well, sadly, there are people today that think they still have to go to the prophets, and this is one of the reasons why a lot of folks will flock to services that are being held by either real or self-proclaimed prophets, because they want to get a word from the Lord. I've known of people that have gone to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to Pastor Dave Roberson's church, to attend the conferences, expecting to get a word from God. And they didn't get it. They were upset. I know of people that have come here for services, when we've had guest speakers here, expecting to get a word from God, and they didn't get it. They were upset. Well, see, the thing is, when you learn that you don't have to depend on somebody else to give you a word, that you can get your own word. In fact, years ago I had a sermon entitled, I Got a Word from the Lord, or I Got a Word from God, something like that. And essentially, we have to come to the place of accepting. God wants to speak to us. I can remember Gary Carpenter tells the story of how that when he and Sue first started attending the prayer center there in Tulsa, you know, every prayer line that was held, you know, they were up in it. And one of the reasons they went up was not just to receive ministry from the Lord, but also to receive, you know, a word from God. And hopefully the Lord would give them a word. And quite often He did. Well, one particular service, a prayer line was called, and they went up and they're standing in the line. And when Pastor Dave got in front of them, essentially, now this isn't word for word, but essentially what he told them was, from this day forward, you're going to have to get your own words. That God is no longer going to speak to you and give you direction this way. You're going to have to learn how to receive it for yourself. And that's the way it is for every person in the body of Christ. We have to come to the place of maturing to the point of receiving words from God. And I can tell you right now, this is one of the reasons why some people never seem to get a word from God. It's because they're depending on man as opposed to God to get instructions. And I can tell you also that if you'll make a commitment to God to spend time with God, that He will speak to you and He will give you direction and you will be able to hear His voice. Well, that brings up the question, then how do you do this? Well, Jesus explained to us that the Holy Spirit would speak to us. In Matthew chapter 10, when He was talking, He's speaking prophetically to the disciples about what was coming after He had completed His work here on earth and would be ascended up to the Father. And He was talking about, you know, when you get arrested and you stand before men and they're questioning you, don't worry about what to say, because it will be the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that will give you what to say. Well, same thing today. The Holy Spirit will give us what to say. The thing is, if you don't know how to hear the Holy Spirit, guess what? You're not going to know what to say. Well, Jesus identified right there that the Holy Spirit was the one who did the speaking and that we would hear Him. And I shared Sunday how that at times when the Holy Spirit is speaking, He speaks from the perspective of the Father. Sometimes He speaks from the perspective of the Son. Sometimes He speaks from the perspective of the Holy Spirit. And to some people that might sound confusing. Well, figuratively speaking, it can be. I mean, I can, you know, I could speak to somebody as, or Kathy. I mean, I could speak to her as pastor. I could speak to her as husband. You see what I'm saying? Well, The Holy Spirit has this responsibility as God to speak to us from whatever perspective we need to hear. So if I need to hear something from my Father, then the Holy Spirit will speak to me from that perspective. And Jesus also talked about how that in John 14 and John 16, he talked about that the Holy Spirit would speak to us and he would teach us, show us things to come and so forth, but that he wouldn't speak of himself. He would only speak what he hears. So he's only going to give us the direction, the instructions, the advice, or whatever it would be, relative to what he hears from God. Well, as God, I guess you could say he's speaking to himself. But Jesus was trying to make an impression upon us. So many times, let's back up a little bit. So many times when Jesus was teaching, he was teaching in terms we can relate to. And that's what he was doing when he said when the Holy Spirit speaks, he only speaks what he hears. Well, it's not that the Holy Spirit isn't a part of God. He is God. But Jesus is trying to get a point across to us in that passage. Now, I shared how that relative to the way it was in the Old Testament, how they had to go to the prophets. Well, the Holy Spirit is like our prophet. We go to him and he speaks. Now get this. This is part of his job and his responsibility. If we don't give him that opportunity, then how can he speak? And it isn't that he doesn't want to. It's that we kind of have his hands tied. Well, one of the best ways, and I've taught on this so many times, one of the best ways to develop yourself spiritually, to hear the voice of God as he ministers to us by the Holy Spirit, is to pray in tongues. And if you don't pray in tongues, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, I mean, you know, you're behind the eight ball if you don't believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And it's not that you don't love God. See, one of the things that can happen is in our, you know, full gospel circles, especially if maybe we had a background, a church background where we didn't believe in speaking in tongues and so forth. And now here we are today, we believe in this. Sometimes we forget where we came from, because when I was raised in church, you know, I wasn't, you know, perfect Christian and all that, but I believed in God and I loved God as much as I understood and as much as I was willing to, you know, understand at that time. The pastor loved God, the deacons, the ushers, I mean, Sunday school teachers, they love God. They love God. Well, see, now today, sometimes we can tend to maybe forget that. Well, they love God, but they just don't accept part of what God is offering, which is being filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Then you have Christians that they do believe in this, but they don't believe that you can pray in tongues anytime you want. I've spoken to Christians. In fact, I spoke to a person one time, and we were talking about, you know, praying in tongues, and I forget the entirety of the conversation. It wasn't that this person was arguing against it. And this person, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, raised in a filled with the Holy Ghost denomination, okay? And it wasn't that this person was arguing that you can't pray in tongues. It's just that this person had sat in a service where a pastor, or not a pastor, but a preacher from, you know, that organization had preached a sermon in their church about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And so now this person was afraid to pray in tongues because they were afraid they were going to commit blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. So, you know, I'm trying to explain, well, no, you're not doing that. You know, and we've got scripture in here. It talks about praying in tongues and so on and so forth. So there are a lot of misunderstandings about this. And that's not the way it started out, because when the New Testament started, this was an instruction that was passed on to believers to pray in the Holy Spirit. Well, if we do that, if we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to us. One of the things that he is going to do while we are praying in tongues is condition our spirits to be able to hear his voice. I don't know if any of you have ever made bread or whatever, but you know, I can remember as a kid, and I don't even remember what was being made, just kneading dough. You know what I'm saying? And you got to, you know, mix all the stuff in, kneading dough. Well, the dough has to be kneaded before you can bake it, whatever it is you're going to bake. Likewise, when we pray in tongues, it's like the Holy Spirit is kneading our spirit. He's getting us ready, okay? And maybe that's not the best analogy. But you see, we are so conditioned to not hearing the voice of God that sometimes when He speaks, we don't even recognize it. Have you ever had a phone call from somebody and, you know, hello, and they start talking, hey, how's it going? You know what? Blah, 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 et cetera. You have no clue who it is. And they obviously seem to know you, and you don't want to sound too stupid and rude and ask, you know, who are you? So you kind of play along a little bit, and hopefully they'll say something that will cause you to remember who they are. Well, anyway, I can. When I was in the hospital, I was still kind of loopy. And
what do you mean? It's still loopy today, Brother Mark?
I was kind of out of it. And had my glasses off, and the lights were turned down in the room. And I heard this noise, and I opened my eyes, and I looked up, and there was this giant standing in my room. And I'm looking up. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, who is this? In my mind, I'm thinking, who is this giant that is standing in my room? And, you know, he just starts talking to me. He said, well, how you feeling? How you doing? How am I home? Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing fine. And finally, I figured out who it was. It's like, oh, Kendall, my pastor friend from over in Richmond. He's like 6'8". I mean, so there was literally a giant in my room. But at first, you know, I was kind of groggy, and I didn't. And he knew that I was having a hard time picking up, and it took me about 10 seconds, 15, 20 seconds before I figured out who it was. And I explained to him why, all right? Well, see, that's the way it can be spiritually. God can be right there in front of you. You know what I'm saying? Talking to you. The Holy Spirit can, I mean, right there communicating, and you have no clue. No clue whatsoever. Well, see, the more you pray in tongues, the more the Holy Spirit is in divine communication with your spirit. And now listen, the Holy Spirit is God, okay? Now, I want you to get a hold of this imagery. If He's God, then everything about God is Him, all right? Including glory. Now, what I'm getting at is this. He's there in you, with you. And when you pray in tongues and you're fellowshipping with Him, you're fellowshipping with the glory of God. Okay? The more you are praying in tongues, the more you're going to become accustomed to that presence. And the more you become accustomed to that presence is the more you're going to become accustomed to the voice coming out of that glory, coming out of that presence. And it gets to the point to where you will know the voice of God when He's speaking to you. How many of you, where you live, if a neighbor comes home, you don't have to look out the window. You know they've come home because you recognize the sound of their car. You've heard that car so many times, and they've had it for like, you know, 12 years. You recognize the sound of that car. Well, it's the same way with praying in tongues. You get to the place to where you are so spiritually conditioned to hear His voice, that when He speaks, you know it's Him. You know it's not your imagination. You know it's not the devil. You know it's not an angel. You know it's you know who it is that's speaking to you. And sometimes He'll just start speaking to you before you start speaking. And it isn't that you have to be praying in tongues to hear Him. Praying in tongues facilitates your ability to hear Him. He will speak to you when you're praying in tongues. But you don't have to be praying in tongues to hear Him. He'll start speaking to you. You'll be driving down the road, He'll start speaking to you. You'll be at home, He'll start speaking to you. You'll be able to carry on conversations, ask questions. And it's really neat when He's speaking to you from the perspective of the Father or the Son, and you have these conversations with Him. You can ask questions and He'll answer, and the only answers He gives you are the answers that you need to have. In other words, sometimes we ask questions and He knows He can't give us the full answer because He would be getting the cart before the horse. We have to spiritually grow and mature to the point of being able to handle that answer, if that makes any sense. Now, how many of you have ever gone to the grocery store and you forgot your list. I take those chuckles and laughs as the confirmation. Where did I leave that? I ought to have that list with me. Oh, I can't believe I left my list at home. Well, you do your best to remember what was on that list. Then you get home, and you forgot this, and you forgot that, and inevitably you forget something that you really wanted, like, you know, a chocolate bunny or a Cadbury egg or something. When it's Easter, I beat this thing into the ground, okay? Or maybe you bought a pie, but you forgot the whipped cream. See what I'm saying? So it's beneficial to have that list, is it not? And it's also beneficial if you write the things down on the list. Are you figuring out where I'm headed here? When he speaks, it's beneficial to write it down. There have been times where he's begun speaking to me, and I'm trying to write it down. I remember one time, I'm at home. He's speaking to me, and I'm trying to write this down, and he was going faster than I could write. And I said, okay, look, you're going to have to hold on here just a second. Let me get over here to my computer where I can type a lot faster than, no joke, you ought to see me type when I'm in the groove. I'm not joking. When I sit there and I'm praying in tongues, and it's like I get into this mode, I kid you not, I must be going close to 120, 130 words a minute. I mean, my fingers are just flying over the... And I'm thinking, what is this? How is this possible? Sound like that all the time. But when I said, could you hold on just a second? He stopped. And he waited. And I, you know, got over to the computer, started praying in tongues again. I said, okay. And what I did, at first I typed out everything he'd already given me. And then he picked right up where he left off and kept going. Now, you tell some people things like that, and they think this is weird. But it's not weird. He's a person. He just happens to be a spiritual person that you just can't see like we see each other tonight. But he's a person. God is a spirit. He's a person, but he's a spirit. And he'll speak to you. Well, if you don't document... I can remember one time. He gave me something. It was important, and I knew it. And I put it with other stuff. Forgot about it for like 4 years. And then when I was going through that other stuff again, I found it. Boy, you talk about, you know, wanting to kick myself. It's like, uh-oh. I probably should do something with this. Well, when you document what he gives you, then what you're telling him is that this is important to me, and I need to do this. Now, God already knows what you're going to do, okay? But if he makes a habit of speaking to you, and you hear him, and you don't do anything with it, why should he keep speaking to you? Why should he keep giving you direction? What he says to you today could be very instrumental in what he is planning to say to you in 1 week. But he wants to lay the foundation of speaking things to you today so that by the time you get to next week, you're ready to receive the next thing. See? But if you don't write it down, well, yeah, but, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I just don't, I'm not sure if it's God. Okay? I'm guessing every person in this room attended first grade. And then you went to second grade. And then you went to third grade. Maybe you stayed in third grade another year. I don't know. Okay? You grew from grade to grade. Same thing in the spirit. You grow from level to level spiritually in hearing him and recognizing his voice. One of the reasons a lot of people don't write things down is because they're afraid they're going to make a mistake. I say, so what? You say, well, yeah, but my goodness, if you make a mistake, I mean, okay, you make a mistake. You write something down and it's you and it wasn't God. The next time you spend time in prayer, pull out what he gave you, start praying in tongues, reading over it, and ask him, how much of this was you and how much of this was me? Correct what needs to be corrected. And he'll do it. This isn't a tough thing. But see, you need to understand, he is patient. And he knows we're going through this learning process. Because we've never known to hear his voice. You can have people that have been born again and spirit-filled for decades, and they've never understood this process. So when they start, even though they've been born again and spirit-filled for 15, 20, 30, 40 years, this is a whole new process for them. Meaning, for 40 years, they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the ability to pray in tongues, and they never really did, and never learned how to recognize the voice of God. So, in this category, they're still spiritual babes. Now, I'm not saying they're totally immature, I'm just saying they're still spiritual babes, because this is something, 40 years you could have been hearing God. See what I'm saying? And you have to learn how to hear His voice. A lot of Christians get frustrated, and I prayed in tongues for an hour today, and God didn't say a thing. Okay, and the problem is what? Well, you said He'd speak. I did, and He will. But I didn't say He'd speak every time you sit down and pray. Sometimes He knows you just need to sit there and pray in tongues and not hear a word from Him. You just need edification. You just need to pray some mysteries out. Sometimes you're spending an hour in prayer conditioning your spirit for tomorrow's prayer time to be able to hear what He wants to say. Listen, the worst thing you can do is try to create patterns in this. Well, when you pray in tongues, after you prayed for an hour, you'll be able to hear God. He'll start speaking to you. That's not necessarily true. You can start praying in tongues for 30 seconds and He may cut loose. Give you all kinds of things. But then again, tomorrow you pray for an hour, you don't hear a thing. Why are you praying? Now listen. Why are you praying? I'm praying because I want to hear God. Wrong answer. I'm praying because I want to get the spiritual benefits praying in tongues produces. Hearing God is only one aspect of that. I'm praying in tongues because I know it will increase my fellowship with my Savior. So I'm praying in tongues. It's not just about hearing God. It's about maturing. In Habakkuk, he was praying and seeking God. And in chapter 2, verse 2, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. When you begin to pray in the Spirit and God begins speaking to you, you write it down. See, another thing that you're doing through this praying in tongues is you're conditioning your spirit to receive visions or dreams. Now, not everybody's going to have these. Some people seem to have them more than others. You know, that is totally up to God and how He moves on an individual. But the more you pray in tongues, the more you're going to condition yourself to receive these things. And then, in the most literal sense, as far as a vision is concerned, when you get one, document it. Write it down too. And, you know, I've taught on those things before, and we can teach on them again later on. But the point I'm getting at, God gave a specific instruction and said, write it down. Write it down. Now, if this was important back then, why would it not be important now? And I want you to think about this. Paul writes about what I pray in tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Paul talked about praying in tongues and praying out the mysteries. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he talks about, you know, these mysteries are the things that we teach unto you. Meaning, we prayed in tongues, we got these things, and we turn around and we preach them to you. But not only did he preach them, he wrote them down. It's what we call Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, I mean, everything that Paul wrote. It was a result of what he got praying in tongues. So when you read about, you know, Paul and Peter and all these things that they give us, this teaching in here concerning the kingdom principles and kingdom doctrine and so on and so forth, they got this from praying in tongues. And so here we have a perfect example right here. Colossians, pick your New Testament book. Perfect example of why we should write these things down. Because this is revelation to us. It's teaching to us. Now, you're not going to get new Scripture. We know that. But one thing is for sure, He can give you clarification in Scripture. And this kind of goes along with what I share so many times about how when you're reading the Bible, develop the ability to pray, just barely pray under your breath in tongues while you're reading the Bible. Because there are times, man, I'm telling you, he will dissect a verse or a chapter while you're reading and bring clarity and understanding like you've never had before. Now, there in Habakkuk, he said to write it down. One of the things that I have found is that we can create an atmosphere that is conducive to hearing God. And one of the ways that we do that is, well, we talked about creating atmospheres before at home and so forth, and like here in the church or at home. You know, if you sit and you watch professional wrestling for a couple of hours on TV, your spirit's not going to be very well conditioned to hear God. You see what I'm saying? Because your emotions have been touched by all the craziness. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you create an atmosphere, like, okay, what we've done here tonight. Before the service, we had a time of worship. And there were people here worshiping the Lord. And, I mean, I can't speak for you, but, you know, I could sense God's presence in this worship. Well, then the service began. And we had our regular praise and worship for the service tonight. And God's presence was here. And we just kept worshiping the Lord and so forth. And in this place, we do what we can to try and create an atmosphere where it is conducive for people to hear God, for people to receive from Him. And so what we're going to do tonight, I made mention of it on Sunday night. We're going to take some time here. We're going to have some music playing in the background. We're going to take just 15 minutes for you to pray in tongues and whatever the Lord gives you to write it down. Now, one of the reasons we do this is because for some people, their lives are so hectic and Satan's got them so confused when they leave here that their time and their lives are so out of whack and out of order that they never sit down and pray in tongues to receive anything from God. I'm not condemning. I'm just saying it's an attack of the enemy, okay? But tonight we're going to give you this opportunity. Now, for those of you listening to this, what I suggest you do is stop whatever you're listening to. Pause it. Spend 15 minutes praying in the Spirit. And, you know, get some paper, get something to write with as you're listening to this. And just write down what the Lord gives you. And then in 15 minutes, I'm going to come back up. I'll just share a little bit, whatever the Lord wants me to share with you at that time. And then we'll go ahead and dismiss. So go ahead and start the music. Well, praise God. Some of you are still writing, aren't you? That's good. Some of you, maybe you only got a sentence or two. Maybe you got paragraphs. Maybe you'll have to continue this when you get home. I don't know. And maybe you feel like you didn't get anything. And if not, well, that's nothing to be upset about. Because again, maybe you just needed this time for prayer. But whatever you did get, it's extremely critical that you not dismiss this. Because this is part of receiving instruction for our lives and revelation of the path that God wants us to walk on and the fulfillment of the will that He has for us. If He spoke it to you, it's important enough to document it. Well, if you don't have a place where you keep those things, then maybe it would be a good idea. Either on your computer or in a notebook or somewhere. Because it's amazing how God can say things and then just like there in Habakkuk, where he said, the vision's not yet, it's not for now, it's for an appointed time in the future. He'll give you things now to prepare you for what He wants to do in your life in the future. And again, I want to encourage you, as often as you can, to do this when you're alone, to separate yourself and to spend this time in prayer and be ready to write down what He gives you. Now, do you need to share this with anybody? Well, not necessarily. You can if you want to. But this is a conversation between you and God. I don't know, that kind of impresses me. And I'll tell you what else is impressive. He was able to talk to all of us at the same time. and not get tongue-tied. How does He do that? I guess when you're God, you can do things like that. Amen.